You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Governments all over the world are paying more and more attention to the financial activities of digital giants such as Google, Facebook and Uber. And New Zealand isn't being left out of this conversation or picture. Our government has just announced plans to impose a new digital services tax on multinational corporations operating in New Zealand. Finance Minister Grant Robertson says highly digitalised companies currently earn a significant income from New Zealand consumers without being liable for income tax. He adds that the current tax rules also provide a competitive advantage to foreign companies in the digital services field compared to local companies offering similar online services. So we're talking Uber versus Zoomie. So will this proposed digital tax affect the operating activities of these online global giants in New Zealand? I spoke to economic and political journalist Rod Oram about the new tax, and I also asked him about his thoughts on the upcoming tax working group report released on Thursday, I do believe, and specifically the capital gains tax, which would see profits from the sale of assets and investments, such as rental properties and shares, being taxed at people's marginal income tax rate. I began by asking how the digital services tax will affect multinational corporations.
Hardly at all, because it's a very, very modest tax. And so it'll be very interesting to see how they respond to it, whether they accept it or whether they fight it or whether they find ways to work around it. But it is an absolutely essential tax that is really necessary to take some steps towards them paying a reasonable tax on their very profitable activities.
So the plan includes, I think it was about a 2 to 3% tax on their revenue. So you don't think this rate is high enough? What do you think would be more appropriate?
I think that's a perfectly good place to start. And because it's a fundamental shift in the nature of taxation, because normally it's profits that get taxed rather than revenues. But it's easier to track the revenues than it is to track the profits. So that's why the tax that's being worked on here in New Zealand, but very similar taxes are being worked on all the way through the OECD, are taking this approach on revenues rather than profits.
Why do you think it's taken so long for something like this, like a law like this, to come into place?
There was always a fear from many people that if you start trying to tax these companies, they'll somehow withhold their services from your country. So there was a fear of missing out. I always thought that was wildly misplaced, because there is very profitable business for these companies to do here and in other countries. And I don't think they'd have passed up on that. The next problem is that because the way these companies organize their finances are so complicated, so for example, they book very significant volumes of revenues through sympathetic tax jurisdictions like Ireland, that it's very hard to unpick that. It's very hard to get at the heart of it. The way that that's been overcome is the whole OECD, which is all 30-some developed countries, have a combined work program on there. And the phrase they use about that is base erosion, i.e. the erosion of the tax base, and profit shifting, i.e. Shifting profits out of one tax jurisdiction into another one with lower tax rates. So that's now gaining real momentum around the OECD. And in fact, the National Party, when it was in government here in New Zealand, introduced such a Base Erosion and Profit Sharing Act. And then that was passed by Labour last year. And so these are the sorts of moves that are going on around the world. They're pretty coordinated, although we might end up introducing this a few years, perhaps 2, 3, 4 years ahead of some other countries. There is some caution, particularly from the National Party, that we shouldn't get ahead of other countries. So, for example, Amy Adams, who's the National Party's finance spokesperson, said, quote, "A country as small as New Zealand would find it difficult to get out on its own without our citizens missing out on much of the global market has to offer." Well, I think that's nonsense. I don't think Google or Facebook and others are going to walk away from New Zealand because of this tax. They're doing a nice bit of business here, and this is hardly going to deter them.
Do you know why maybe those comments were made? Is there any reasoning behind this idea of New Zealanders losing access to these global services?
Well, it's certainly simply repeating the old mantra, which has delayed progress on this for a very long time. And I think it's really important for people to realize the world has shifted, and the nature of these issues has shifted, and how the response to them has shifted. And therefore, once you realize that, then this is a perfectly reasonable tax to have. And having it a little bit before other countries is not going to have much or any of an impact. Another argument against New Zealand going first, or going early, and also being clear it's going early, is that these companies might take the time between now and when the tax is finally designed and introduced to concoct some even more complicated ways of avoiding this tax. Well, they might, and they might use us as a test case to figure out how they might be able to do that as more countries bring these taxes in. But again, the heat is really on these companies now from governments in a collective way. So I think it's going to be harder and harder for them to be untransparent about what they do, i.e. hide what they do. And therefore, the more transparency that is demanded of them, the easier it'll be for individual countries and then countries collectively to be able to act on this.
Mm. Also, would you be okay if I asked you about your thoughts generally on the tax working group and specifically what you think about the capital gains tax?
There's an utter logic to a capital gains tax. There always has been. All sources of income should be equally taxed. If they aren't, you get distortions, which we have, for example, with our property market. That's always clear. The problem is that any argument against that usually has to resort, because you can't argue against that first order issue. So the arguments then become second or third order issues, like, oh, it's so complicated and, you wouldn't raise much money and all these other issues. Well, they're actually beside the point. The real issue is that it needs to be addressed, and therefore we need to be really smart and clever about how we do it to do it as efficiently as possible. Now, virtually every other developed country and many developing countries have capital gains tax. It's always crazy we never had one. And that's because there were also historic reasons for that. But it became a real cause célèbre for neoliberals as they reformed the economy in the 1980s and 1990s, because it served their purposes very well. And the leaders of those very useful economic reforms, useful in many other respects, not in that this particular one, then many of them created substantial wealth for themselves by building up large companies and selling them off to other people and not paying any capital gains tax on that. So it was pretty self-serving. So I'm very interested to see on Thursday what the tax working group has come up with. I hope it is very creative and very bold and very logical. It's still going to be a very hard political sell because of all of this second and third order poor arguments against it that swirl around. Very difficult politically, but I hope this time we finally make some progress on it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.